Buenos días. Good morning, good morning. Before we get into this morning's message, I just want to, we celebrated with them on last week, and I want to give the baptismal certificates to Melinda Zistel and Daniel Borman, and you guys can just stand up. Amen, amen. We want to welcome you once again to the family of the Green Bank Church of Christ family. God bless you. God keep you. And buried with him in baptism on this past week. And so God bless. And let's continue to pray for them. Amen, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And verse 10 reads, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for an opportunity we have to be able to gather together and hear another portion of your word. We're thankful that you have blessed us with this opportunity. You've opened our eyes. You've given us air to breathe and sun to be able to take in and all the things that we have that we need, Lord, for this life. And we're grateful for you, thankful for so many things. And we just ask that you would watch over each of us, Lord. Bless those that are on our sick list right now, Lord. We pray for Brother Dwayne Asbell, and we just pray that you would watch over him and be with those that are sick and shut in and those that are just going through health, mental, emotional, financial issues, Lord. We know that all of our issues, Lord, we can take them to you and we can take them and leave them at your feet. Bless us, Lord, in a special way. Help us in those areas where you know we stand in need. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I've entitled this "The Pursuit of Happiness." And I got to start thinking first about the garden. You know, one of the things that God did when he created man, he created Adam and Eve. You know, oftentimes we wonder, why is it that God even created us? There's speculation, but I believe he created us, you know, not like robots. He gave us this free will as it is, because we know God could have just created it so that we would all be obedient and perfect and do his will, but yet he gives us this free choice so that we could choose to serve him, choose to love him, choose to obey him. And by giving that choice to Adam and to Eve, you know, he puts the responsibility in their hands. Recognizing that they have this responsibility, Satan comes to tempt. The tempter comes, and he gets Eve, and he starts showing her all the things, you know, or really talking to her about what God has promised and what God's provisions and all that. And as we understand the garden, we understand that God was providing everything for them, right? There was nothing they were lacking. They had emotional fulfillment, financial fulfillment. I mean, everything, all that they needed was right there. God gave it to them. But I believe really even before the first sin came in, that really the first sin that entered in was discontentment. Here's everything God has given to us, and somehow the enemy has come in to show that it's not enough. It's not enough. There's something he's holding back from you, and something that will be better, something make greater, something will allow you to be even on equal footing with God. And so what they did was they traded their relationship with God. They traded it for something that was fool's gold. You know, fool's gold. It looks like it's going to fulfill. It looks like it's going to give you, you know, that riches and all that. But it's just empty. It's just empty. You know, we, just like Adam and Eve, we were created. This life that God's given us, he's given us all that we need. He's given us everything we have so we can have happiness and an abundant life. But so often we're looking at other ways to fulfill what God wants to do for us. Sometimes we look at money, we look at our careers, we look at relationships and substances that help us to escape and get away and not even think about really what it is that God has for us. And oftentimes we're trying to find something else to meet that need, that deep need that we have. Peter tries to give us something here that tries to show us, look, if you really want to be content, if you really want to be happy, if you really want to be walking right with the Lord, then here are just some practical things that he shares with us in his word. Look at this again. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord or on the righteous, his ears open to their prayers. You know, as we're looking at this, I want you to notice that first and foremost, as Peter's writing this, he's writing this from the context. He started in chapter 2 dealing with submission in every area of our life. And oftentimes submission is a bad word. I mean, to us, it sounds like a bad word, but it's such a good word when you're submitting to the right authorities, when you're submitting to the right one, especially to God. You know, and God is sharing with us, he's saying, look, you need to submit to the government, submit to your employers, submit, wives, submit to your husbands, submit to your wives, and children, submit to your parents. I mean, all these different submissions that we see here, not only here, but in other texts, but oftentimes when God is dealing with submission, it's not dealing it from a negative viewpoint. Because if you're leading right and you're submitting for someone who's leading you correctly, then, you know, you're going to be in a good place. Even Jesus submitted to the Father. That's not something bad. That's something good. He submitted to do the very will of the Father. And so here, as he's talking about all of this submission, when he comes down to chapter 3, verse 8, then he says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. In other words, treat one another right, love one another, forgive one another. What do all these things have to do? They all have to do with relationship, maintaining relationship. And one of the things I want to share with you, that as we're looking at happiness, a lot of our happiness has to do with maintaining the right relationships and pushing us off from the wrong relationships. Look at this first. And a mouth, a controlled mouth or an uncontrolled mouth, do a lot to build and aid a relationship, or to do what? To tear down a relationship also. It says, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And we've talked about so many times how the words that come out of our mouths have so much power to give life and power to break, you know, tear down also. And we see that in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has a power of life and death. And not only is it the words that we speak that it affects other people, but even the words we speak affect us. They have power of life and death in our own minds, in our own lives also. You know, I'm not going to quote this correctly, but pretty much there's a poem, something that says, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you won't. da-da-da-da-da. You guys maybe have heard it before, but really that's just the premise of it. If you think you can, you will, right? If you think you can, you have more of an opportunity to be able to do that than if you think you can't, right? Because where? It all starts right here in the mind. Right? If I'm already telling myself, no, we can't do that. We can't, you know, we're going to be like the spies that went into Canaan. You know, look, there's giants in the land. There's this and that. Look, we see it's all beautiful, but. So anyway, the words that we speak even to ourselves are so powerful for life or death. Jesus makes the statement in Matthew 12:34, out of the overflow of the heart, or some versions say out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And really what he's saying is what's coming out of your mouth really is a reflection of what's in your heart. And really what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What's here comes out of here. What's here comes out of here. And so every now and then you slip up, oh my, you know, you hit the hammer on your finger and you say, oh Lord, good God Almighty, who is the creator of all things. And no, you don't say that. Some folk, anyway. But those things are a reflection of what's already been in here. If we want to change what comes out, all right, if the what comes out is the abundance of the heart, then what you need to do is change the heart. Feed the heart right. Feed the heart right. Feed the heart right. Continue to allow the word to come in and transform our lives. And we start talking different, acting different, living different, because the word starts to come in and transform our lives. It changes your speech. It changes your actions as you desire to read it. And not just read it, but to apply the principles that are contained therein. Second, it says, let them turn from evil. Let them turn from evil. Not just refrain his tongue from evil. Not just speak, you know, right things, but turn. Turn from evil and do good. Here's some of the things that a Christian ought to be characterized. You know, this, who was it, Gandhi, that said he loves their Christ. He loves our Christ, but doesn't really care too much for Christians, because what he saw was a hypocrisy. One that the teachings of Jesus that was breaking down walls and barriers, and in his society and in his living, he saw that there were Christians that were putting walls up and continuing to keep that separation in. And so, you know, what I'm trying to say is that our message needs to match. Our message needs to match. We ought to be Christians and live for Christians and live like Christians, look like Christians, act like Christians. And what he's saying, if you want things to go well, turn from evil and turn and do good. And one of the easiest ways to do that is look toward Jesus. Live like him. Let's model ourselves. The perfect example we have, it's found, and we talk about them every single week. We look at, and you know, and we're going to be talking about his resurrection story in a few weeks. The world is going to be talking about it, but this is something that we ought to be modeling ourselves after Jesus Christ every single day. And in those moments where we know, like, we're not living up, at least we have a model to be able to look at, right? You ever put a puzzle together? You ever try to put a puzzle together without having something to look at? That's pretty tough. That's pretty tough. But it's a lot easier when you got the picture of what it's supposed to be, and now you got the pieces over here. And as you're putting the pieces together, you're measuring it by that picture in order to put the pieces together correctly. And that's our life. We're trying to put all these pieces together, but we're putting it together by looking to Jesus. Look at Jesus, and we're in pieces and shambles by ourselves, but we're modeling ourselves after him and trying to be the very image of Jesus Christ. Turn from evil. I don't know how I got back to the first one, but let them turn from evil and do good. You know, it would be wonderful that we are characterized. And people, they may not even know what your faith is, but they, man, That's a do-gooder. That's a do-gooder. That's what happens on the streets when we're out and serving people. People don't know who we are. They don't even ask our doctor, and they go, these guys are doing good. When we're out here feeding people and clothing people, we're doing good. What we're doing is we're letting our light shine so well that they might see our works and glorify our Father in heaven. As they see your good deeds, they glorify our Father in heaven. And so God wants us to continue doing the good, turning from the evil things and desiring, I want to do good. I want to look like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus. I want to speak like Jesus. I want to be Jesus for other people. You understand what I mean by that, right? You are the only sermon they're going to read, sermon they're going to hear, and so let's represent him well. And then lastly, pursue peace. You know, maybe it's just by growing up, we had a lot of contention, especially I remember seeing my parents, and, you know, before they divorced, and, you know, you start to pick up things as a child. You start seeing the contention in the household, things of that nature. So I've never been one that likes contention. I don't like fights. I don't like being it or anything like that. But at the same time, when a fight came, I wasn't one to run from a fight either. So it's a real weird situation. I don't like them, but if I have to, you got to do what you got to do. And I'm not talking about physical fights. I'm just talking in general. But the key is, we as Christians, the Lord calls us to a special calling as Christians. You know, you remember on the Sermon on the Mount, when the first thing he says, blessed are the what? Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, and this is what we're called to, being peacemakers, right? Now, I want you to hear this out for a little bit. That doesn't mean things are always going to be peaceful. That means our job is to be the voice of reason in the storm, to be a peacemaker, to be one that says, look, here's your issues and your issues. Can come on, let's find some peace. And first of all, the peace that we're first trying to be a peacemaker for is this thing called sin, right? Here sin is come in and disrupted our lives, separated us from God. And here we are as vehicles. Now us who have been clean, cleansed and washed, now are Christians. Now we're called to be thrown back into all of this mess and to come bring peace. I want, once again, sin is coming in and causing division, chaos, enmity, right? And here we are as bearers of the truth of word that brings peace, the truth that brings reconciliation and brings those that are disconnected and disjointed because of sin. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 is sin separates us from God. But now, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can be brought back together, right? But it takes something. Jesus does his part. And then he calls us to do our part. Do y'all see that? He calls us to, we've been given, you may have heard of this ministry of what? Reconciliation. What does that mean? That means we're bringing folk together back to God. We're being peacemakers. This chaos that sin has now caused, this schism that, and now all of a sudden the separation that's been caused by sin between us and God, here we are helping people to bridge. The bridge is Jesus, and what he did on the cross is the bridge, but we're the guides. We're the ones bringing people, showing them the chaos that's been inflicted upon them because of sin, showing them the solution that's found in Jesus Christ, and then helping them to get together and to, you know, to be that peacemaker. One thing I recognize about peace, usually peace or peacemaking is done when there's conflict. That means conflict is going to be a part of this. And like I said, I don't like conflict in any, I don't like it in home. I don't like it at the church. I don't like it in society. And Lord, we're getting ready to have another political thing. I don't like it in politics and in this nation, right? But here we are called to be peacemakers. Let us seek peace. Let us pursue peace in every area of our lives. Let us be peacemakers. Friends, happiness is not determined by our circumstances, but instead by our choices. If we turn our tongues, turn from evil, actively pursue peace, we can live the full, joyful, happy lives that God desires for us. Maybe someone here this morning, and I just want to challenge you to think about some choices that you need to make in order to find true happiness and fulfillment with the Lord. The Lord is calling us all to, you know, and I was thinking about a Psalm chapter 1 being, you know, like that tree planted by the rivers of water, you know, whose leaf does not wither. It produces fruit and all of that. And that's what I desire for all of us, that we might be planted in the right place. We might separate ourselves from the things that we shouldn't be doing, focus on God and on his, you know, and living for him and looking like Jesus, modeling ourselves after Jesus, being a peacemaker like Jesus, pursuing the right things, looking to Jesus as our guide. And if we do those things, we can have a fulfilled life in the Lord that starts now and never ends, even in eternity. If you're ready for that, why don't you come right now this morning? If you have not yet surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, this can be your day. This can be a new day for you to come in and enter in to the Lord this morning. I'm actually scanning the audience. I think everyone here is a baptized believer, and so I still send the invitation out. And so this invitation is yours. If you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand to sing the song of invitation?